from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
No stopping him now. Is that about the Eagles or Hugh's snacks here? We'll find out. Welcome back.
I didn't know Kyle could hear me.
Well, he told you. We're broadcasting live from 94 WIP's Camp Comeback at the NovaCare Complex, driven by Hitch RV. Hitch RV, your premier family-owned dealership. For locations, go to hitchrv.com. 215-592-9490 for Eagles still practicing. How about that? We're a little over an hour today.
Hey, they practice for over an hour.
We're working hard now. So Eagles on the practice field. After practice, Jalex Hunt, Eagles rookie pass rusher, will join us in our RV here to catch up and really find out what it's like for him, his first NFL training camp. So a lot to do. Elliot will join us later. Elliot's training camp stats being referenced. This is the national news, what the quarterbacks do. Elliot charts them. Excited to have Elliot on the show later. Your phone calls as well on the Eagles. Hope or expect a Super Bowl caliber team. Hugh expects it. I hope. I have a lot of reasons for hope, but I hope they can be that good. I'm not expecting it quite yet. Need to see this thing come together. And are you starting to worry about this Phillies team? 500 baseball for close to 40 games now. 3 straight series losses. My worry is they have work to do before the deadline. Like they really need an outfielder and a relief pitcher. It's not one or the other anymore. They need both before Tuesday's deadline. All right, 215-592-9494. Plus, we get another clue coming up in a little bit for Hugh's Clues. 4 pack of tickets to the Reading Phillies.
4 pack.
August 13th. But Hugh, let's hear from Vic Fangio here before we go back to the phone lines. He spoke this morning. We went down to his availability. And a couple interesting things from Vic. One about their biggest signee in terms of money this offseason. And then another one about who gets to play. Let's start with the Bryce Huff thing. I was just talking about the pass rush and how it's a little bit of a question on what they really have there. We know they gave Bryce Huff a lot of money, $17 million to be their best pass rusher, one of them, to replace Hassan Reddick, who they moved on from. Here is Vic Fangio on Bryce Huff, and can he actually play, you know, full-time, or is he just a specialist? Here's Fangio this morning.
In New York, Bryce Huff was essentially a pass rush specialist. You guys have him starting here. Why do you think he'll be able to be a guy that can play on base downs?
Well, I think everybody thought he could. And knowing that the floor was just rush downs, but he's taken the challenge on very well, and I do think he has the talent to do what we want him to do. It's just he's got to get familiar with doing it, and so it will be a work in progress. Does he look like he could do it today? No, but I do think eventually he will.
What do you make of that, Hugh? Work in progress, we think he eventually will, but not today. It feels like the Eagles paid $51 million for a projection. Like, they think he can do this, but they're like right now, Fangio's like, no, not today, not
well,
yet.
When I hear that, I hear him being able to recognize and understand down and distances and certain schemes and blocking schemes. Because it kind of reminds me of how it was for me when Coach Hamilton would talk to me about certain things that you have to recognize. Like, for me, if you showed me a certain stance and I looked at the down and it was third and long, I knew it was a pass play. You couldn't tell me it was anything different. Could have been a draw. If I looked at that, if that tackle set a certain way, it would have been, I'd have been up the field and out to play, and I'd have taken myself out to play. So when I hear that, I hear a few things. I hear him being able to play with leverage, and what that basically means is at the point of attack on first and second downs, where you can hold the point and, well, I should say set the edge and make it harder for the running back to collapse that edge and things of that nature. Just recognizing how to play runs on regular downs and then having the ability after you play the run to still line up and brush the passer. It's a little bit of a work in progress, no question about it, and there's probably going to be early on times where in games, if he plays a lot, where he might get caught in the wash. You know?
That I thought the same. When I heard that this morning, my feeling is early in this season, teams are going to run right at him.
Yeah,
right?
He might get caught in the wash because it happens, man. It happened to me, and you have to be able to play with leverage. You have to be able to play and allow the linebackers to scrape and allow them to make plays if you're not making the play. But basically to set the edge and be able to identify what's happening and then have the ability to brush the passer. Because, man, people don't realize it's a lot of work to, like, play first and second down and then still have enough strength to go out there and try to get after the quarterback.
So that's really interesting with Bryce Huff. Like, all right, we know he obviously can rush the quarterback. You've seen it in his NFL career. He's had double-digit sacks, right? There's a reason why he got paid. But will he still be as effective on third down if he's playing first and second down? That's what they got to figure out, and we're going to find out pretty soon here. All right, so we had that about Bryce Huff. And then this was interesting this morning for Fangio because especially the secondary, Hugh, they have a lot of players, right? A lot of corners fighting for these jobs. You have two rookies. I know Cooper DeJean right now is not playing because of the hamstring injury, but Quinyon Mitchell. And is this going to be a matter of the vets? Do you just go with the young guys because they were drafted? Like, how do you determine playing time? Here's Vic Fangio this morning on the battles. Specifically, when I heard this, I was thinking corner.
What's your philosophy on playing rookies early in the season? Like, are you just going game to game? Who gives us the best chance of winning that game? Or do you try to get guys involved so that they're, you know, more prepared and ready to go?
I'm all for playing the best guys. I think if you looked at my history when we've had rookies, we've played them. And provided they're good enough. We ain't playing somebody just because they're young. You know, if we were an expansion team like I was in two places, we might just throw them out there to see what we got. But I don't, you know, we got more serious business here. So if they're worthy of playing, they will play.
I like that, Hugh. That tells me if Quinyon Mitchell wins a job, he wins a job. He's not going to hold back because he's a rookie. But he also doesn't care that this – I'm just using Mitchell as an example. He doesn't care he's a first-round pick, right? If he's not one of his three or four best corners, he's not going to play. Best man plays.
Yeah, you have to have that, man, because they're in a situation – like you said, Joe, like, you don't have time to fool around. This team is in a window, and they're trying to maximize their ability to make that happen as much as they possibly can. And if that means playing Keely Ringo because he's the better corner at that time, or Isaiah Rodgers because he's the better corner, that's exactly what it's going to be. Can't fool around with this thing, man.
Couple updates. Elliot said Keely Ringo was the corner two today opposite Slay. So today he got to start. Yesterday it was Rodgers. Mm-hmm. That feels like the battle. I don't know where Quinyon Mitchell factors into all this. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit of the slot because they're down Cooper right now. But it does feel like Keely Ringo and Isaiah Rodgers are fighting for that job opposite of Darius Slay. 215-592-9494. Hope or expect a Super Bowl team here this year with the Eagles. And he's starting to worry about the Phillies after three straight series losses. Let's go to Bruce, is up next on WIP. Hey, Bruce.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good morning,
Bruce.
Good morning.
What's up? Both brothers early in the show today. What are you thinking, Bruce?
Yeah, we tag teaming you guys today. Yeah, great to hear from. So
sounds crazy.
I'm looking at a threesome.
That team sounds crazy.
All right. So I think with the Eagles point, I just wanted to make the point because I didn't have a chance to talk about this yesterday. I'm just so proud of Jalen and how he responded to the questions. And he just, like, set the tone right off the bat. He took charge. He didn't allow anybody to drive any narratives. And I'm just so proud of him. So I'm just glad that he's basically put this thing to rest. But then, you know, I turn on WIP this morning, and I'm going back to the morning show. They're talking about other stuff and say, well, with they parsing some things out about what he said at the end. And said, man, get a guy a break. Why are you still holding on to this controversy like an Alabama deer tick attached to a man's jewels? Let it go.
Boy, that's an analogy right there.
Alabama deer tick. Okay.
Hey.
That's a hell of a place to have a deer tick.
I have to throw that analogy at you guys
Hopefully I'm never in that situation. Yeah, well, they're probably being a little nitpicky, Bruce. I mean, we waited a long time for the answer. But I thought yesterday he gave a good answer. Like I thought it was interesting, Bruce. You mentioned it was Elliot that asked the question, and Jalen kind of took over. He kind of like cut Elliot off because he wanted to he wanted to say something there. I'm okay with that.
He controlled the narrative.
Yeah, like you've had a month here. Say something. Tell us what you're feeling. I'm glad he did it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it couldn't have been better. Couldn't have been better. So so I'm just glad that's hopefully that's the end of that, and we can, you know, move on from there.
Now where are you at, Bruce? You expecting a Super Bowl, or are you hoping for one?
Now on the Super Bowl, I'm hoping right now. There's just too many questions about the defense right now. And until we start seeing something, the Green Bay game is going to be pretty telling. And the offensive continuity. There's a lot of new moving parts and figuring out how to fix. We definitely have the talent to make it to Super Bowl, but there's a difference between having talent and then being able to execute a game plan that's brand new right off the shelf. So, we'll wait and see. I'm just worried about the defense, though.
Well, you're not the only one. There's a lot of new pieces, a lot of young pieces, and when guys that are unproven. I mean, Nolan Smith's unproven, and Jordan Davis still, to an extent, is unproven. They got a lot of unproven guys. So we'll see. Bruce, give us a guess here. Hughes Clues, a former number one overall pick.
You know what? I'm just going to go. I'm going to go with Mike Vick.
Mike Vick.
Yeah.
It's a fun answer. Mike, I remember that when he was coming out of college. Bruce, it's not it, but it's a good one. Hugh Vick was one of the more famous and exciting college players ever.
Man, Vick was a whole problem, man.
At Virginia Tech, he was awesome.
Man, Vick was awesome. So, it's one of those things, people don't realize how fast he was. He was fat. He was super fast,
I think when he was there, they made the Sugar Bowl. And him on the turf, and obviously he got to play on the turf in Atlanta when he got to the NFL. It was just like, when he got moving, you could not catch him.
Yeah, it was a wrap. Yeah, kiss the baby.
It's a good guess. That's not it, but it's a good guesser. So he mentioned the young players on defense. He also mentioned there, Bruce, the idea of the continuity on offense.
Mm-hmm.
We're watching today, and it's just practice. But I am very interested to see how quickly the offense, they get it, right? It's a new coordinator. Jalen has said, and he even said it again yesterday because he was asked about that 95% thing because some people have disagreed, but it's a 95% new offense. And I heard this morning DeCamera ask Devontae what he thought of how much of the offense was new. But that's a big question. How long until it clicks? Is it 3 weeks of the season? Does it take 6 weeks? I think this offense is going to work at some point, right? They have a lot of talent. Kellen Moore's run good offenses before.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll work. I mean, I think this system can work for this group. But is it going to click in September, or is it going to take 3 or 4 weeks for it to look right? I don't know the answer yet.
I think the best answer I can give you to that, Joe, is that it's going to run smoother as we progress through it. I think it's probably going to be a little clunky, but I think it's good enough to win. I think that they have enough talent where they're going to win games. There's probably going to be times where there are going to be plays that we see that are being executed that are missed, that they'll come back to, and they'll be smoother as the season progresses if you're watching it that close. But I feel like the talent that they have and the way that they're going to approach this thing, that they're going to be fine. But as we progress through the season and we get into those winter months, like the Decembers, the Januaries, then that's when they're really going to start rolling. They're going to be unstoppable.
Well, I think about week one, the game's pretty even. It's interesting. Eagles, Packers, it's a 1.5-point line. It's a neutral site. The Packers are bringing back the same play caller, right? They're bringing back the same offense.
Yeah.
No, because they
start clicking late. They start clicking
late.
They
did. They got hot, I'd say, November. And
yeah,
then
they start clicking late.
They almost made it to the NFC Championship.
And see,
game. Here's
the thing, again, with this team. As much as I expect them to get off to a fast start and be the team that we want them to be, it might be a little tumultuous. It might be. But I think at the end of the day, when you look at the Kansas City Chiefs and their road to the Super Bowl, this might not be – it might be more similar to that. It might be something where they get off to a rocky start, and then it's something where it starts to turn the corner. But I think that the most important thing that they have to do, they got to weather the storm, man, because we're going to let them have it. If they get off to a rough start – if they get up to like a 1-3 start, yeah, we're gonna hit it with both barrels.
So Kyle,
we're talking bad about everybody.
Here's my thing on what Hugh just said. He might be right. I mean, it might be choppy. But here's the concern, Kyle, with that. The schedule early is lighter. Like, they need to win games in September because the hard games, the Bengals, the Ravens, the Rams, Cowboys, they come later in the season. I mean, if they get off to a 2-2 or 1-3 start, even if they're playing better in October, November, it's just going to be hard to dig out of that.
Yeah, it's not as much of a gauntlet as last season. I mean, the Packers game's obviously going to be tough in the beginning. I think that week two game against the Falcons is like the perfect time. Like, if you're a little bit worried about Atlanta and who they're going to be, that's probably the perfect time to get them.
You didn't see Kirk Cousins rolling up yesterday?
I think Kirk's Falcons still just, Kirk's coming off of Achilles.
That was a late October injury. He might not be right. Yeah,
it's going to be new offense, new personnel there. I'm not too worried about Atlanta early on in the season. And then, you know, the Saints, which might be a little bit of a tougher game on the road, but it does set up so that you kind of have to get off to a fast start. You know, regardless of what the team thinks, the fans, everyone in the city is going to be hitting the panic button.
Right, like, can they win even though they're still putting it together?
We're going to hit the panic button.
That's September. Can they win 3 out of 4, or at least 2 out of 4, even if it's choppy? I mean, they have to. I mean, you look at the schedule, and Kyle's right, it's not as big of a gauntlet as last year, but there's still good teams in there. I mean, you have the Rams and the Ravens on the road in November. Those are tough games.
It's almost kind of like how the Phillies built up a good lead in the beginning of the season this year, and now they're... The Phillies are sort of hitting their gauntlet that the Eagles had last season. Yep. So it's a good thing that they gave themselves that cushion. The Eagles kind of need to do the same thing.
They do, yeah. I mean, I understand it might be choppy earlier, but they still need to find a way to win some games. 215-592-9494. Steve in Egg Harbor Township. Hey, Steve.
Steve.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I think the Eagles are a Final Four team. I think we have definitely the talent to make it to the NFC Championship. Whether we go to the Super Bowl and win it is another thing. My concern, really, believe it or not, is the coordinators. I am not as confident as everybody else is. I look at Fangio last year in Miami. Miami was dominating that division. That defense totally faltered down the stretch, totally faltered the last game against Buffalo, and they got absolutely destroyed by Kansas City, who really was not a great offense last year. And Kellen Moore... Why did Dallas let him go if he was so great? I don't know. But in San Diego with Herbert, Keenan Allen, who is an equivalent to A.J. Brown, he's that good. Mike Williams is a hell of a receiver, too, number two. Had a good tight end, and they had one of the best all-around running backs in Austin Eckler. And that offense was crap last year. And then they got the injuries later in the season. But they weren't that good.
They weren't. They thought he was going to be the guy that helps, you know, Herbert get to the next level. And then I do think injuries were part of it, Steve, for Herbert.
It was a huge part of it.
Yeah, I mean, Herbert got hurt in, I think, December and had a finger
12.
Injury before that. Yeah, but he had a finger injury before that, I think, gave him some issues. But, yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. I mean, Herbert went backwards last year with Kellen Moore. I mean, that's the facts.
Yeah, and then now this is going to be his third team in, you know, 3 years, and we better do good offensively, or I'm taking a look at him as not being so good. I wanted to talk about the Phillies a little bit, too.
Yep.
I am not worried about the Phillies one iota. Did you really think that all these relievers were going to have sub-2 ERAs? It's catching up with them now. The hard-hit balls are getting through, the bloopers are sinking, and that's just the way it is. It's part of the season. I'm not worried about the Phillies. We're going to be there again in October.
Well, they will be there. I need a reliever, you know, from another team and another outfielder for me to feel great going October. All right, Steve, give us a guess here. Hughes Clues, number one overall pick.
Matt Leinart.
So, Steve, we appreciate it. Was he the number one overall pick?
I don't think so.
I thought he was closer to sixth in that. Maybe I'm misremembering.
Maybe me too.
Oh, I'm trying to remember what year he was. 06, I think, because he went back to school for one more year. Maybe I'm misremembering he was. I don't remember him as the
He was the 10th overall pick in the first round.
Yeah, Mario Williams was the first pick in that draft. Reggie Bush was in that draft, too.
Yeah,
Leinart was a high pick, and he was bust. But, yeah, he was the number one overall pick. All right, 215-592-9494. As far as what do you make of what Steve said there about Kellen Moore? It's interesting. Kellen Moore, I think he's good. And he's got a good reputation. He's at a crossroads of his career, too, right?
Because a little bit.
He got maybe fire is the wrong word. They chose to move on in Dallas, right? They handed the offense back to McCarthy. And Dak had his best year without Kellen Moore last year. And then the Chargers thing, I'm not putting it all on him.
Austin Eckler was, like, hurt at the beginning of the season, wasn't he?
Well, also, he's on his last legs.
Yeah, he was not the back that he once was.
No, and then, the whole thing was a mess, too, because Brandon Staley was on the hot seat. So.
Yeah, it was a lot going on there, man. I don't know. Like, I hear what you're saying, and I'm not poo-pooing it, but there was a lot going on there. You know, and sometimes, you know, a change of scenery is good.
I do think this is a crossroads moment for Moore, though. Like, if the Eagles average, like what you were saying the other day, 29 points a game, he could be a head coach somewhere next year.
Yeah, he probably won't go anywhere, though.
Well, if he gets that coaching opportunity,
I think he's probably going to stay here for at least 2 years, two seasons.
Think he would turn down a head coaching chance?
Yes. Because what are the teams that we're talking about?
I don't know. I mean, it depends.
It's probably going to be a bad team.
Well, sure, yeah.
And it's probably going to be a
Giants.
Team. It all depends.
Thinking of teams that retain their head coaches that could have fired
Jets them last coach year. With Aaron Rodgers. I don't think he'll want that job.
Yeah, but he's trying to become a head coach. Take the job if
no,
you get
No, but wait
it?
A minute. Who was the head coach? Who was up for a head coaching job last year, Joe? Didn't take it.
The guy from Ben Johnson from Detroit.
And he didn't take it.
Well, this is 2 years ago. He turned on the Panthers and the Commanders.
Because you wonder why, huh? Like both
well,
of those
are
jobs,
bad organizations.
That's what I'm saying. He looked at it because we went to the Commodores. He was supposed to take a visit. And he said, no, I'm good.
I think they were flying to meet him. He's like, nah.
He thought about it. Like just because it's a head coaching job doesn't mean it's a good head coaching job.
Well, that's true. But the same applies the other way. If this Eagles offense – isn't very good. If it's just okay.
Yeah, he might be here for.
Well, he might be here, but Kellen Moore's name is not going to be in the head coaching circles anymore. Mm-hmm. Like that's, you know, as a coordinator, you get like the name gets hot for a few minutes and then, you know, if you don't capitalize on it, it's over. Dominic in Cherry Hill says I'm driving him nuts. What's up, Dom?
Yo, how's it going, guys?
Dom, what's up, buddy?
Hungry, Joe, where do I want to start? I've been wanting to talk to you about Embiid for a while, but I'll just start with the Eagles.
Oh, please, don't get me started on Embiid, Mr. Excuse
no,
Maker.
No, don't you...
Every time he is in front of a microphone, he tells you why he hasn't won yet. It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
we'll talk about him a different day.
Yeah, exactly. Let's save that. But the Eagles, yeah, I'm not worried as much as you are, as much as some people are. I can't believe the last guy called in worried about the coordinators, and then he gives us established like pass of our coordinators, which we lacked last year. What do we have to go off of last year that made us so confident about Brian Johnson and Sean Desai? Like, give me a break. These two coordinators coming in here are easily going to be better than the ones from last season.
I agree with
and
that.
And look
yeah,
at the
yeah.
talent we have. I mean, look at the talent that we have on the offensive side. We didn't run the ball enough last year because I don't know if they didn't trust Swift or what the play calls were last year. If we just run the ball, it helps out our defense. Like Hugh says, like we just need them to be like mediocre. The defense,
that's it.
The offense mediocre is good enough.
Here we go again. When the defense doesn't matter,
mediocre is
go.
Good. Mediocre is awesome.
This is Philly. Didn't you play for a great Eagles defense?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't mediocre.
Mediocre. Yeah, but that's a different era. Mm. It's a different era.
You're aging yourself. When you do
I mean, I really am. I'm aging myself, but it's the NFL has changed.
So Dom, I agree with you, and I see they have a lot of talent, but the part that is interesting to me is the talent is all in the skill spots. And I'm not saying they have none on the lines, but, you know, I have a question on the center now, right? Like, Kelsey's gone. No Fletcher. It's like there are a little bit more question marks on the pass rush and the O-line than we've had around here in a long time.
There's going to be question marks every year, Joe. Let's just be honest with that.
No, I know, but their question marks are in the important spots. O-line, you know, pass rush and O-line. Those are big deals.
Well, let me ask you a question. Would you rather have Saquon Barkley or two solid offensive linemen? Not great offensive linemen, solid, because that's all we would have got.
I'd rather have two solid offensive linemen. But, I mean, Saquon's
no
here.
No way, that's crazy.
Yeah.
When Saquon Barkley gets the ball 15 to 20 times and helps ease the pressure from Hurts, Hurts doesn't have to run as much. This guy is chugging along. I mean, we're downplaying. You are certainly downplaying how good Saquon Barkley is and how much of an impact he's going to make on the offense. I mean, we're talking Dallas Goedert is like the fourth option on our offense. That's insane. That is absolutely insane.
Well, I agree with you on that part. He will be the fourth option. I think Saquon's actually the third leading receiver. Look, Saquon's a good player, but the Eagles throw the ball a lot. Well, we'll see if they run it with him and give him the ball as much as we think. I mean, that's not who they have generally been. Maybe it changes now. Maybe.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to the Phillies. All right. I can't believe that we are, like, blowing a gasket over a tough stretch. They're 4-6 in their last 10. It's not good right now. It's part of baseball. I mean, but this team has earned the fact that they're what? Are they still number one in the MLB in record?
Yes.
Okay, and they haven't had their full roster for about 95% of the season. I mean, these people calling in, oh, well, Bryce Harper should focus on winning games. Like, get out of here, dude. They've won 61, 63 games? Like, shut up.
But the concern is relative, Dom. Like, they're a great team. They're the best team in baseball. But, like, the bullpen issues right now, like, if they get another reliever. Don't you agree they need another relief pitcher here by the deadline?
I would say I would still go outfield over relief pitcher.
I need both now. Like, I need Dombrowski to go get an outfielder and a relief pitcher. The goal isn't just to have a nice regular season. I want to win the World Series. Like, they need help here.
I get it. I just am saying, like, with the recent stretch, I think we're overreacting. But, yeah, we definitely need to add some guys.
They need some help. All right, Dom, give us a guess here. Hughes Clues, former number one overall pick. Who you got?
All right, I'm going to go recent just for the heck of it. I saw him showing up to camp yesterday. Bryce Young.
Bryce Young. Dom, good guess, not it. He certainly was a number one overall pick. Did you see the comment section of him pulling up to camp, Bryce Young?
What did he say?
I thought you might have saw this because you like the comment section. People said he looked like a middle schooler.
Oh, yeah, he still looked young. Yeah, they were saying that about him when he got drafted.
Well,
like,
he's
looked
also
12.
Tiny.
Yeah, he's a little guy.
I do wonder if he...
I don't think he's a bust, though.
Come on,
I know a lot. I don't. I'm not there yet.
Might be.
I'm a die. You know, Kyle, this is one of the hills that I choose to die on.
I know. You're Panthers, man.
Let me ask you this.
Wait a minute. They're not my Panthers. I just don't think he's a bust.
Do you think he'll bounce back and be competent, or do you think he'll be good? Because what I saw last year, I have a hard time believing good is coming.
Boy, I tell you, that's a hell of a bar to cross, competent or good.
is he viable?
And like, I think he's viable.
Oh, okay. But that's bad for a number one overall pick. You want a number one overall pick to be good. C.J. Stroud was the second pick. They took him.
I think he'll be good. I'll go out on a limb and say I think he'll be good.
I think he will not. But I do think he'll be a little better this year. I mean, he probably
can't be. Yeah, he got to be better. He can't be worse.
Well, no, he couldn't be worse.
That was a rough season.
215-592-9494. Jalex Hunt will sit down with us as soon as he gets done practice. In the meantime, your phone calls, expecting Super Bowl for the Eagles and your worry level for the Phillies. Plus, a second clue after the break for tickets right here on the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Hatfield, let me tell you about Hatfield, everybody. Are you tired of the same old burgers and hot dogs all summer long? Here's a helpful hint from me, Hugh Douglas. Try sliders with Hatfield Recipe Essentials, ground pork and sausage with a variety of this delicious, delicious flavors. There's something for everyone. Craving a spicy kick? Try the chorizo. Want an Asian flair? They have sesame soy ginger. That's the way to go. For a taste of Italy, try sweet or hot Italian, or just keep it simple, folks, with the classic ground pork. Make your summer sizzle with Hatfield. Visit simplyhatfield.com and find your flavor. Find your flavor today with Hatfield.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillen, live today from 94 WIP's Camp Comeback at the NovaCare Complex, driven by Hitch RV. Hitch RV, your premier family-owned dealership for locations. Go to hitchrv.com. Eagles practice coming to a close here. Eagles rookie pass rusher Jalex Hunt is scheduled to join us in just a little bit. Excited to get to know him as he starts off his Eagles career. And, of course, your phone calls, 215-592-9494. A lot to dive into today. I'm hoping for a Super Bowl-caliber team this year out of the Eagles. Certainly reasons for hope, the talent, the quarterback, the receivers, the running back. You know, still a great tackle combination and improved defensive players, hopefully, especially in the secondary, and two new coordinators. But it's hope for me because I still have a lot of questions. You know, can they fully move past whatever the heck last year was? Last time I watched them, they weren't a good football team. And they've got questions on both lines and pass rush for the first time in a long time. 215-592-9494. Of course, the Phillies. Are you having a little worry with the Phillies for the first time this season? I am. They need multiple things here. Dombrowski's got his work cut out for him between now and
Tuesday.
They
got to make some moves. No
question
about that.
Let's go. Now it's time for Dave Dombrowski to finish this thing and get the Phillies where they need to go. All right, Hugh, before we go back to the phones here.
We're going to get another clue?
Why don't we give people a second clue? So the first clue today for Hugh's clues, we've got a 4-pack of tickets. See the Reading Phillies on August 13th, Alec Boehm bobblehead night. So we told people the first clue is this person was a number one overall pick. How about clue number two?
Yes, this person was top 20 at his position in production.
So not a bust.
No, he wasn't a slouch.
Right.
Definitely was not a slouch.
Not a Bryce Young kind of bust.
No, well, he's not a bust.
One year in.
Yeah, he's a work in progress.
Yeah, that is for sure. 215-592-9494. Will in the Northeast. What's up, Will?
Will.
Gentlemen, how y'all doing this morning?
What's up, Will?
Hey, Will.
All right. But listen, I like what both the gentlemen said, Coach Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. They addressed the situations, and from what both of them were saying, they're ready for this season. I like how, like y'all was talking about earlier, how Jalen shut it down and stood on what he believed in, what he said, and he didn't allow anybody else to interfere with that. I appreciate how Jalen addressed it. I appreciate how Sirianni did also. And I think these guys, it's like a marriage, right? You go through some little problems in a marriage. But, later on, you'd be like, listen, we're going to work this out. This is a working process. And I believe they're going to work it out. And I'm not on board yet with going to the Super Bowl. I'm not. I have my reasons, but...
Well, I mean, if they had Derrick Henry here, Will, you'd be on board then. That'd be different.
He'll be selling in there. Everybody are fearless. But I'm going to talk about the Phils. And mm-hmm. This is going to apply to the Eagles, too, right? With the Phils, I believe they just need to get back to having fun. I think now that the season is starting to get a little closer to, crunch time, I think they really trying to do a little too much. I think they, really focusing on, almost being a perfect team. I think they need to just get back to having fun and, hold each other accountable and, get back to winning games, man. And I believe they're going to do it. And it's the last thing, and it's go for both teams, all three teams, actually. I would tell them, you need to remember last season how y'all walked off the field, right? And I'm not talking about the loss that you took. I'm talking about the feeling that you had when you left the field. The feelings that you gave the fans when y'all left the field and y'all lost. You know what I'm saying? So keep that in mind. Let that motivate you. You know what I'm saying? And hopefully it will.
And well, hopefully. And, Will, it's interesting. What you mentioned was interesting. This morning I was driving in the morning show at Devontae Smith on. Good job by them. It was a good interview. And Joe asked him, when you guys were together, do you talk about last year? Have you fully moved past? And he basically said, that he's focused on now, right? That last year's not going to help them win football games. But it's hard not to think about it, right? Like, it should motivate them to not have what happen again.
Man, who want to feel that way, though?
Nobody.
Forget the law, but who want to feel that way?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's why, I'm going to say it again, it's going to be it, and I'm going to give you my answer. I believe, I really truly believe, that's why Kelce retired a little early. Because that feeling, and you see that emotion when he left the field, he just said, I can't go through this again. I can't put myself through this again. I think it was the emotional breakdown more than the physical.
He can still play. I think you're right. I think he emotionally and mentally, he didn't want to do this again because he could still play. All right, Will, what's your answer here? Number one overall pick. Top 20 all-time production at their position. Who are we talking about?
I think it's one of your homies, you. Urban Fryer.
You nailed it, Will. You nailed it, Will. Yes.
Good guess.
Urban Fryer is today's.
The Rev. Shout out to the Rev.
Will,
man.
Good job, man.
I was not expecting him to get it that early.
I wasn't, but then when he said he's, one of Hugh's homies, I was like, well, he played with them. That's probably what he's referencing there. Yes, Urban Fryer. What? When we were looking at his numbers this morning, I knew when I was growing up, Urban Fryer was a good player.
Yeah. Didn't know how good he was.
Well, what struck me is he never had a 100-catch season. I don't think he had a 90-catch season. But he ended up racking up well over 800 catches. And I think it was over 12,000 yards receiving. He's a good player.
Yeah. And he's a proud member of Omega Sci-Fi Fraternity Incorporated. So shout out to the Rev, man.
And he's a Jersey guy, local guy.
Yeah, Mount Holly's finest.
And he also is one of the few wide receivers ever to go number one. I think, is it just him and Keyshawn?
Yeah.
I think it might be.
Yeah, he's a rare bird, man. Rare breed. Out of Nebraska. He went to Nebraska.
I don't think we'll ever see a receiver go one again. Wouldn't you just think a team would trade up for the top quarterback and you would trade down for the receiver?
Yeah, well, wait a minute. You got the Slim Reaper went pretty high.
Like, he went six. Yeah. Marvin Harrison went four. I don't think we're ever going to see a number one pick receiver.
It all depends because nowadays it's such a quarterback-driven league.
Right. The quarterback matters so much.
Yeah, if you have – and I would say that if you got a team, if you're a team and you're drafting number one, you're probably more than likely – in a need for a quarterback.
Like this year's draft, I think there's a real chance that Harrison is actually the best player. He went four, right? The three quarterbacks went above Marvin Harrison.
Yeah.
It's just the way it goes. I mean, it's Keyshawn 96 and Irving Fryer back in his day. 215-592-9494. In terms of the Phillies, I mean, you got Will talking about them just trying to have some more fun. They need to throw strikes. And I also think they need more production, Hugh, out of everyone but their best players. I mean, Castellanos, he had three hits again yesterday. Castellanos has been, again, I think pretty good now for the better part of a month plus.
Yeah. You know, somebody else got wind of the anomalies of when Castellanos hits and the significant hits that he's had.
Oh, you mean like when big major world events happen?
Yeah. Somebody, I saw that, man. And it's kind of, it's a different list.
It's bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah, it's different. I didn't want to say bizarre, but different is the word that
it's just weird. He seems to get these hits. And look, he's played well, but they've got a lot of guys in the lineup that are just not hitting enough.
I mean, he needs some more contribution from the other guys. It was a tough weekend. And I know, you know, you don't want to hear that because you're dying the wool, but man, Minnesota has some pretty good pitching this week.
I don't want to hear that.
I know
Kyle,
you don't.
Do you want to hear about the Twins pitching?
I know you don't, but it's the truth.
Who did you do this about with? Was
Cal Quantrill.
Cal Quantrill and the Rockies, just because they shut down the Phillies doesn't mean they're good, Hugh.
I didn't say they were good.
Well,
I just said
going there.
Well, no, it was a good matchup.
Just getting out in front of it. Better not start.
Okay, so all right, I'll even give them this. I think Minnesota's pretty good. They might make the playoffs. The Phillies are 19-19 their last 38. They've hit, I'm trying to find the right word, they've hit a lull in the season, a wall.
A little bit of a, yeah.
I mean, they're not playing like they were in April and May. I mean, they're just not. It's been about 40 games almost where they've played pretty mediocre baseball, and that happens. That can happen in the middle of a good season. Mm-hmm. The 93 Phillies got off to a crazy start and then had that kind of thing happen. And eventually ended up still in the World Series. So it doesn't mean they're going to fall apart here. But I think they need some. Can we hear Bryce Harper again? Bryce yesterday after the game, frustrated. And I thought at the end of this, he puts the onus on Dave DeBrasco to get them some help.
It's like the worst you guys have played for a prolonged stretch this season. What do you make going back before the break, the series against A's is three straight series of losses?
Yeah, I mean, obviously those are, I thought the A's kicked the crap out of us last game, obviously. But, I felt like we've had two games that got away from us that we could have won. Just haven't.
This team has been pretty good facing adversity. I don't even know if you would call this adversity these last nine games. So I imagine you guys are pretty confident you can find a way to maneuver your way out of this and get back on that winning track.
Yeah, again. I mean, I think obviously, going home is going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to get home, see my family and, play in the bank. But we can't let, two games get away from us in the last two series like that. It just can't happen. You're going to be a winning ball club and be a winning team. That just can't happen.
The deadline is less than a week. What do you think you guys need something else? What do you think it is, and what do you think about what the front office will do?
I don't know. Dave's going to get the job done if he wants to.
Hugh, now the second time you've heard it, what did you take away from him saying that Dave's going to get the job done if he wants to?
He was exercising his GM rights, his assistant GM rights, and he was trying to be PC. But then you got to remember too. I think when he was answering that question, he was still kind of frustrated.
Of course he was.
He was still kind of frustrated. He was frustrated by the way the season was going. So I don't read too much into it because we all know. I mean, just a couple of days ago, they were talking about Dave going out and getting what this team needs. So, yeah, I think he was more frustrated than anything.
Kyle, what'd you make of Bryce after the game yesterday? Dave will get the job done if he wants to.
Yeah, it sounded like a threat. It's kind of like you better make a move. Like, I don't know if Harper could be any more open about, like, obviously we're a flawed team. Dave, you need to go make a move ASAP. The whole if he wants to thing is just kind of like, that's the Bryce Harper way of saying you have to.
Well, and also, I thought back to last year. I mean, they didn't really do much at all at the deadline. I mean, I know last year was different. They were more in a wild card race than a division race, and now they're leading the division by nine games, and they're one of the World Series favorites. But The two acquisitions last year were Rodolfo Castro, who basically didn't play at all, and I don't even know where he is now. And then,
he's still with us, technically. I think he's in the minors.
So even in a year where they've had issues with the bench, they can't get him up here? That,
I'm pretty sure he's injured or was coming back from injury.
But either way, I mean, it obviously...
He's not helping in any way.
Not all. And then the other one was Michael Lorenzen, and he helped. You know, helped with the six-man rotation in the regular season through a no-hitter, but he didn't do anything in the playoffs. So the deadline last year was a dud in terms of helping them win the World Series in the playoffs. It can't be that this year. They need an outfielder, one that could spell Marsh, and... The outfielder might have to play every day. I mean, if Rojas doesn't start hitting, he can't play in October either. I know someone here is not going to want to hear that, but that's the reality of it.
Yeah, I mean, hey, listen, I'm all for trying to win a World Series. I am. And if that means – but I feel like Rojas is going to be a part of that because of his defense.
He could be a part of it as a defensive replacement in the eighth and ninth inning. Pinch runner if he doesn't get picked off anymore.
I mean, yeah, but I think he's still going to think he'll be a part of it.
Well, he probably will be. As long as he's here, he probably will be on the team and be part of it. And then, of course, they need a bullpen arm.
I started to feel attacked by that Rojas.
Well, because
I'm
he's
here.
A weak link.
I'm a down this year. I'm okay with that.
I think you've died already on this.
I've died
come back
a few
to life.
Times.
When they brought him back from the minors, you came back
from
life.
Yeah, I'm reincarnated on
you
this
You are. All right, 215-592-9494. Jalex Hunt going to join us when he gets off the practice field here. Eagles third-round pick, pass rusher. Allen's in Deptford. Hey, Allen.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Great
what's
show.
Up, man?
Thank you, Alan. What's up today?
So I got a couple quick points. We got the Phillies and the Eagles. I'll start with the Phillies. Number one, there's a history between the Philadelphia Phillies and the Oakland A's. Remember the Philadelphia A's?
Of course.
Well, you know what? Let's get together. You know, let's get Mason Miller and maybe even Rooker back here. I don't know what Dave would have to do, but I'm tired of Alvarado. He's like a kid throwing a rock at a window. He misses 20 times before he hits the window. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and then, Soto is almost like a lesser version. They're very similar, but he's not even as good as Alvarado sometimes.
He was next on my list. Ruiz and Soto and even Mercado, they all got to go. You know, if we have Strom, Hoffman, and Miller in the late innings, that would be phenomenal. Not saying, you know, just my wish list.
Alan, I agree with you. And you know, I keep reading the A's are probably not going to move him, but I've seen this story before. If Dombrowski calls them and offers them, you know, one of their two top prospects, I think they would consider it. I mean, they're so far away from being a good team, they'd have to consider it.
I'd still be happy with Tanner Scott. And you heard this first from me. Don't be surprised if they move Marsh and Stott.
Stott?
Yeah. Yeah. It's possible.
Well, it is. But that would create more holes. I think they'll both be here, but their futures, Alan, it's not as locked in as it used to be. I mean, let's be real about Brandon Marsh. He's still a platoon player. I mean, he's a platoon player right now, and that's not that valuable.
Yeah, and then quickly to the Eagles. Eagles need cohesiveness this year. If they have cohesiveness, they're going to be good. And my big question is Jalen going to be a pocket passer, or is he going to be going back to the scrambling abilities that he did so well at 2 years ago?
It's a great question, Alan. I don't know, and Alan, we appreciate the phone call. Hugh, what do you think? We got to watch a little practice. There was one play where Jalen did keep it and run and scored a touchdown and right in front of us. But the idea of – I know Elliot yesterday, I heard him on, and we're going to have Elliot later in the show because he's been out here charting all this.
Mm-hmm.
He told the afternoon show yesterday that Jalen in the first practice yesterday only ran it, I think, one or two times. What do you think in terms of how much he runs this season?
I think it all depends on what the situation calls for. I think that when I think of Jalen, I think of like Steve Young back when he was young. Not saying that he's comparing him to Steve Young, but you know.
Stylistically.
Yeah. You know, sometimes he threw from the pocket. Sometimes he ran it. And I think that Jalen can be that type of guy. Like, it all depends. Like, I feel like when you talk about quarterbacks, the old ways are still sound. Still got to beat people from the pocket. But the ability to extend plays and do things like that, I think that's necessary for him to be successful. So I think it just all depends on the situation.
It does. It also depends on what he's comfortable with, right? Yeah. We've seen before, when Jalen gets in trouble,
his instincts take over.
Yeah, all quarterbacks are like this. Like, some guys stay in the pocket. Some guys back up, right? They go backwards in the pocket. Some guys run. Jalen's thing, and we've seen it now for 4 years, he goes to the right? He floats to the right, and then he tries to either find someone or eventually just run and make a play.
Yeah.
And last year with his knee, he couldn't make those plays as much.
Yeah, and I think that it all depends on the the scenario. You know, like I always point out the fact that I remember the play in the Super Bowl when Patrick Mahomes was at his best running was when it was least expected, and he broke the defense's back when he did that. I think Jalen needs to be a little bit more of that. I think the better he becomes as a pocket passer, the more unpredictable he is as a quarterback. And what I mean by that is, if I'm going into a game, say if we're game planning, and we know Jalen Hurts likes to run or pull the ball down and run, like I'm more inclined to keep him inside the pocket and you know, if he starts to run, then try to pursue him, because we know he's not that fluid in the pocket. But if he's getting out there and he's making plays from the pocket, that changes things.
It does. I would be careful to think, though, just because Saquon's here, he's going to run. That just necessarily means he's going to run less. I mean, I remember that when the Panthers drafted Cam Newton, drafted McCaffrey. Cam,
different animal.
But their mentality, they run. They both are running. My point is, when the Panthers drafted McCaffrey,
yeah,
there was a thought, Cam's going to run less.
That's what they wanted.
Yeah.
But
he didn't stop.
The reason why I say they're a different animal, because Cam was hardwired that way. Like, Cam, that's who Cam was. The year they went to the Super Bowl, Cam probably was the leading. He was the leading rusher on their squad. And that's just how he was wired. And they tried to extend his career by giving him a running back, but Cam was hardwired that way. I don't think Jalen's that stubborn. And not saying that's a bad thing, but I think that Jalen wants to evolve as a quarterback. If Cam would have evolved as a quarterback and kept that part of his game and became more of a pocket passer, he would still be playing.
Yeah, he's not that old.
No, he's not. Doing a great podcast, too, by the way. He's wild. But, yeah, he's a guy that I feel strongly about, especially about that position. You have to evolve in order to sustain, especially at that part, at that position. Because if you're the same guy and, you know, everybody has a book on you, same thing with Michael Vick. When they have a book on you and you haven't evolved, you become easy to defend.
Yeah, and then the other part of this to our caller's question is the offense, right? What they're going to do. And obviously Kellen Moore as the coordinator now, I keep looking to what the Cowboys did with Dak Prescott, because that's the largest sample we have of Kellen Moore, that offense, Dak Prescott. And Dak evolves, right? Dak, when he was young, he ran. And Dak, as he's aged, and part of it was that pretty gruesome ankle injury he had a few years ago.
Yeah.
Dak will still scramble for 8 or 10 once in a while, but he didn't run much. I mean, when I picture Dak playing, it's in the pocket. And with that, this morning, I mentioned Devontae was on with the morning show. They asked, I think John asked him this morning, who have you studied, right? Like, how have you gotten better this offseason? And he talked about studying other receivers, and one of the ones he said he studied, Hugh, because he's getting ready for Kellen Moore's offense, he studied CeeDee Lamb, like what they did with CeeDee down in Dallas. I think there's a lot of parallels between Kellen Moore's Cowboys offense and what they did with Dak to what we're going to see with Jalen Hurts. And that probably means a little bit less running, at least, you know, planned running. 215-592-9494. That's a hot part. Our Jalex Hunt is scheduled to sit down with us in the 12 o'clock hour. Excited to get to know the Eagles' third-round pick, the pass rusher, who, you know, could quickly ascend to an important role in his first years as an Eagle. So we'll talk to Jalex Hunt coming up. Merrill Reese also scheduled to join us.
Merrill Reese.
Merrill going to be in Canton next week. As we know, he got an awesome award and going to be honored at the Hall of Fame. So we'll talk to those guys. Your phone call as well, 215-592-9494. Are you hoping or expecting a Super Bowl caliber team out of the Eagles this year? I'm in Camp Hope. Hugh is expecting it with all the changes here. And the Phillies, are you starting to worry about a team that's played 500-ish for about 40 games now and has lost three straight series? 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard live from Eagles training camp right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.